B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshitz. Here are the Bankroll. Who you got?
All right, welcome in a special edition of Over Under 985, the podcast. Let's get it going. You guys have your questions. We are live on Twitter, Periscope, and YouTube. So if you have questions for any of us tonight, you should totally chat in right now. Of course, we're going to get into everything that happened. What's happening and what's happening today and tomorrow and Sunday. And I'm glad sports is back for selfish reasons, Dan. We were on a roll here for a little bit, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, we're going to have sports anymore. But it looks like after a couple of days of making a statement, we get the NBA, which I thought was toast, and, of course, the NHL is going to make its way back. So at least that is good news in our world.
Yep. I was real worried about the NBA, as I said, and I think Chris Haynes repeated that today. The NBA goes as LeBron goes, which kind of sucks because that guy is a douche. But that is the reality of the situation, is the NBA goes as LeBron goes. So LeBron out, the NBA is out. Thankfully, LeBron is back in. And it sounds like it was Andre Iguodala and Chris Paul who were the guys who convinced him. It sounds like Jared Dudley played a role as well. But from what I heard, it sounds like they were basically like, hey, if you don't play, all these kids are going to get fucked out of millions of dollars of money. You know, you're looking at all the NBA owners potentially voiding all contracts and all sorts of stuff. So it's really, really good that that did not happen. It's really good that LeBron James decided to play. For as much of a bullshit fraud that he is, I'm very happy that he decided to continue to play for now. And the NBA made a statement. They definitely got their message out. The whole world has been talking about it for the past few days. All of sports has talked about it. So I would say the NBA has been effective in getting their message out. And, it's not going to stop racism overnight, which, I want to make very clear that, racism is still going to continue for those people who thought that, that would be the end of it, which I have heard, which is kind of crazy, that, racism will continue, but the NBA is effective. And if you don't like what they did, sucks to suck. It's effective. And clearly what they did is working. So we should respect it, even if you do not like it. I think you should be able to respect their decision.
So, all right, and anyways, I know people are going to give no political, no more. No, I know it's not politics, but no more.
Nope, I agree.
We're moving on. We're both wearing red today. I wonder what that means, Dan. I don't know. I don't know what any of that means. But anyway,
I don't know.
So get your questions in. You guys, there's playoff games. You got the Bruins tomorrow. Excuse me, I'm going to sneeze. You know what you do to sneeze? I tried so hard. I used to say cinnamon.
Yeah, it does not work.
Cinnamon.
Did not work.
Nope.
Sorry. Sorry.
I'm back, though. I covered my mouth. I'm in my home. Everything's fine. It was just a little sneeze. It's just a big guy with a big sneeze, I guess. All right, so we're gonna do a show tomorrow, and we'll probably have a lot of picks in there. But do you think the time off will help a team like Houston Rockets? Will it help the Boston Bruins get an extra day? Will it help these teams getting the extra day of rest?
I think it helps a team like Houston, who has an injured Russell Westbrook. So that's a huge get. I think it really, really helps Toronto for all the Celtics fans out there. Kyle Lowry gets an extra few days off. I guess you could theoretically say it helps the Celtics with Gordon Hayward, although we haven't heard any sort of update there. And so I am pretty much at this point, pretty much feel like Gordon Hayward's out for the series. I think it absolutely kills the Bruins, kills them. You know, after a game where you get your ass kicked like that, the only thing you want to do is get back out there and kick their ass. I think that's any athlete's response, right? You want to get out there 20 minutes later, but if you can't, you know, the next day. And the fact that that did not happen, I think the Bruins are, man, I don't know what to think. I think they're done. I think that series is over. I think we kind of talked about how I thought the goaltending would be a massive issue for the Bruins at some point. Everyone told me I was crazy. I had to go back and forth with guys in this very chat room a few weeks ago. And I think we saw it the other night. Halak was not good. And the backup, Vladar, was even fucking worse. That kid sucks. He's not close to ready. And again, that's not saying Dan Vladar might not be a good goaltender in a few years. He might be. That kid's raw as fuck. 6'6 and plays on, you know, 6'6 and plays 6'0. So, you know, that kid's not ready. And definitely not ready for the big time against an elite team. So I think it hurts the Bruins, honestly, Joe. And I think there's a very good chance that this may have ended the Bruins' Stanley Cup run.
I've been saying that for a while. I think this is the window. So let's just get it started. Tomorrow at noon, the Bruins play game four down 2-1. I hate to say that like this, but this is the most important game of their run. So the run might be over to begin with, right? They're probably going up against a team that's better than them, that has a better goaltender, that's just more talented right now. And you didn't think that maybe after game one, right? You were like, oh, well, here comes Tampa Bay again, another team that's a front runner who chokes. I think Tampa Bay's better. But being down 2-1, Bruins tomorrow, the line's close. It's hard. So I think it's like -110.
-115, Bruins are -105.
Okay. So, I mean, it's close to a pick 'em, all right? And there's a little bit of juice in there. It makes it different, but.
And it's going to be different. Not every book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the biggest game of the Bruins' run. I think if they don't win tomorrow, Dan, fade them in the next game. Like, and that's one other thing, too, is like, I don't know. I look at some of these other teams that are down 3-1, 3-2 across the board. Like, do you think they want to stick around now in the bubble after all this shit? Like, I don't.
If I'm the Blazers, like, I want to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, like the Blazers want out. Maybe Dallas now. I don't know, because there's a lot of chippiness between those two teams.
Yep.
You know, they don't want – how much more do you want Luka to get stepped on? You know, there's just certain teams, you know, that I'm just curious about. You know, the Bucks, the Nets. The Nets really want to stick around for a little bit more. So the more I watch it here, this is the biggest game of the Bruins run. Whereas a better, like, don't you feel like there's value behind the Bruins in that spot? Just for the simple fact they can't lose that game. They lose that game, they're going home.
Yeah, I think that, I think if you're going to look for a Bruins play tomorrow, the way that I would go about it would be a first period play with the Bruins. The Bruins need to come out hot. They do. They need to be flying. They need to come out hot. My guess is that Cassidy will put together a better lineup than whatever the fuck that was in game three. My guess is that Nick Ritchie will not be playing. That kid looks washed, and that really sucks because when he came over from Anaheim, I don't know if you guys know about Nick Ritchie. Ritchie was a very, very hyped elite prospect.
How about his brother?
Brett Ritchie, not remotely as close as hyped. Nick Ritchie was very hyped. Obviously has sucked ass, has not given you anything. I would suspect you'll see Stanika in there tomorrow. I would suspect that you'll see Chara play a few minutes. You know, they're going to pull all the stops tomorrow. Tomorrow is the game. If they lose tomorrow, you're not beating Tampa Bay with a worse goalie, a worse lineup. You're just not beating them three times in a row. It's not going to happen. So if you think that the Bruins are going to win the series, bet on them tomorrow because this is it. This is tomorrow is their chance. I think they're porked. I think it's done. I think that the Bruins are I think the Bruins are done, Joe. I really do. However, if you're looking for a play on the Bruins and you want to be a homer, Bruins first period -110. Not terrible. The team total is over a half -150. Little heavy for me to lay, so that's not what I'm going to do. But If you're looking for a Bruins first period minus 110, I do not feel terrible about that at all.
I just think if they have any chance at all in the series, they win tomorrow. Any chance? I know that's really easy to say here. No, like you go down 3-1 to this team, you're done. And think of all, you know, the shit in the bubble and just throwing it all in. I mean, we've seen this team come back before, but without that goaltender, it's different. Just looking at the other series, the Islanders and Philadelphia have been interesting. The Islanders pull their goalie and then boom, they come right back, you know. Just interesting how that happens there. But Philly won in overtime. Maybe that little goal helped them. The Islanders have been good. I'm staying away from that one, but they have been scoring a lot of goals. And I don't know, the total's 5 on that one right now. I don't know. Maybe I'll stay away from that one for tomorrow. But maybe, and also Philly's got more momentum. But I'm impressed with the Islanders, man. Like,
yep, I told you, man. They were one of my dark horses at the beginning of the year. Philly was my dark horse going to the playoffs. The Islanders, my dark horse. So the, you know, both teams are kind of coming through for me. I think the Islanders are still the better team. I know Philly won in overtime, but I still like the Islanders to win game 3 and that series. I just think that they are the better team. They're very talented. You know, Varlamov has played very well for them. I'm going to continue to roll with the Islanders. They are minus 117. They get last change tomorrow in game 3. Not that, again, we've been over that in the past if you listen to the show. Last change, home ice, mean literally jack in the NHL playoffs. They just don't mean anything. I think it's something like 51% has meant something in the NHL playoffs. So anyways, it just doesn't mean anything. So I'm going to go with the Islanders tomorrow. I'm not going to PP it, but I very much like that. I'm going to continue to go with that. And the over-under in that one is 5. I'm going to continue with the under trend there. I know that went way over last game. I lean under there, and I lean Boston over. The 5.5 is over. Yes. And again, for the people who ask a question about home ice, as I just said, home ice does not matter. Never has.
They get the last whatever end of the ice.
Last change,
whatever. I don't care. NHL. Now, here's one I'm looking at for tomorrow. And this is kind of this could be square, Dan. It could be really square. Vancouver, 2-0 series lead. Vegas finally gets the win. They get on the ball. Surprised with Vancouver. You know, that whole team's been turned around. Vegas ain't losing this game tomorrow. I'm sorry. Vancouver's a favorite, plus 175. I don't think Vegas is losing tomorrow. I think they even that series and they run away with it after that.
I think Vancouver is very underrated, honestly. They have 4 elite offensive forwards, in my opinion, at least from what I think. I mean, you know, you have Peterson, you have Horvat, you add a guy like Quinn Hughes, obviously he was the first round pick, you have Brock Besser, you add Tyler Toffoli, you have JT Miller. I mean, like, that team is really, really good and really, really deep at the top, okay? And it's hard for me to imagine that they're going to go out without a fight. I cannot possibly see that. I just can't. I just can't see them going out without a fight, honestly, Joe. I think they're going to give it to Vegas tomorrow. I think they're going to tie the series. I do. I'm not going to play it. I have no interest in doing that. But just my general thoughts, I would say they're going to win that game tomorrow.
I think Vancouver, like Vegas.
Fair enough. Yep. I wouldn't touch this one either, because I think whoever wins this game ultimately wins the series. It's 1-1. It's 1-1 in that series, and this is a big one.
All right. So let's get out of hockey. Again, we're going to be on tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. We're probably going to throw out a bunch of picks at you because we want you to listen to the show. We're just doing some discussion today, or maybe a few PPs here and there. Yeah. NBA is back, thankfully. I'm trying to find – so I know you said you have the times. It's so weird because, like, I was on this morning and I was doing updates and I'm like, I think it's at 4. I think it's at 1. I don't know. TBD.
Celtics are at 1 o'clock Sunday.
Sunday, 1 o'clock. So what do we have for Saturday?
So Saturday, from what I'm hearing, from what I believe, again, we don't have any official time, so this is subject to change. From what I'm hearing, Orlando, Milwaukee will be at 3:30.
Yes.
Oklahoma City, Houston will be at 6:30, and Portland, LA will be at 9 o'clock.
Okay, so staring at those games right there,
yep.
Bucks and Lakers roll.
I'm worried about the Lakers tomorrow. I am. There is no Damian Lillard. They're going to win the game, okay? The Blazers don't have enough to keep up with them in the game. LeBron James does not want to be in the bubble, Joe. We have now talked about this for a little while now. That has been a thing. He threw an absolute fucking hissy fit the other night when he wanted to go home, take his ball and go home, and all the other players wanted to stay and play. It feels like he does not want to be there. I'm worried about LeBron James basically checking out, not playing, you know, as hard as he needs to tomorrow. Now, he may come out and blow doors. I would stay the living fuck away from the Lakers spread tomorrow. Don't want to go anywhere near it. That's my personal opinion, Joe. We can agree. If you think they're going to blow doors,
I don't even know what's the line. I mean,
13.5.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
he got up to 14.
Yeah. They kicked their ass last two games.
Yeah.
I mean, like Hassan Whiteside and Nurkic, what are they doing? They were good with Gabriel. Why did they make that change? I think it's stupid.
So from what I saw, Gabriel was exposed game two.
Well, like, I mean, I know he's young, but like Nurkic and Whiteside can't play together.
No, they can't. They can't spread the floor whatsoever.
And I know Collins is hurt, so, you know.
Collins is out.
I don't know. I didn't like that move. I thought it was stupid. And then I look at the Bucks, like Orlando's playing without Gordon and Isaac, and you know they're competitive. They fight hard. And then the Bucks always kind of blow it a little bit late if they're going to cover or not. First half Bucks has been really hot. Got to tell you.
Yeah.
I wonder if you'd ride that one again in a blow. You know, in a 3-1 series. Like the Bucks can't go six games with Magic. They can't. Like if they go 6-7, like.
No, they're going to win that game against Orlando tomorrow. It sounds like there'll be no Gordon. It sounds like, you know, there will be obviously no Jonathan Isaac towards ACL. So, you know, in that case, the Bucks are going to win. They're going to win in five games. And so that series will be over. The total on that one is 226.
I might run over just for the simple fact that, like, Magic can give you all you got, you know.
I think I agree with that. I think this is going to be a game where Orlando is going to do whatever, throw the kitchen sink. I don't know if they want to be there. And it's going to be really hard trying to figure out the motivations of these guys. You know, I think we're going to have to watch the first half and maybe play some second half lines tomorrow instead of full games or stuff like that. But I do think that Orlando and Milwaukee, especially, you know, the Magic are either absolutely going to throw in the towel and Milwaukee's going to roll, or, you know, Orlando's going to come out there. It's going to be a close game. So I wouldn't touch it. I do agree with you on the over though. I would lean over 226.
All right, quickly. I want to get into this Thunder Rockets game, but, we will be on the air tomorrow at 7 o'clock. We'll have lots of picks, probably UFC. Our UFC guy Gabe calls in every week. He wins every week, Dan. I mean, I know it's as square as pie.
Can you tell me, would his four-team parlay win last week or would it have lost?
Ooh, I don't know about the four-teamer, but I know that he hit a two-teamer.
I know he hit the two-teamer he discussed. I know that.
I hate parlays in UFC. I know you hate parlays in general, but I want to just lay it and pick it and stick it. Like, I go one match at a time, you know, okay, what I mean? One fight at a time. So, but that's the only way I know how to bet in that sport, though. You know what I mean?
I agree. These
two guys. I
agree. I'm with you. That.
And like, dude, I took one of the fighters. What's his name there? O'Malley. Dude kicks somebody, breaks his foot. And like, you know, and he's a huge favorite. He's like minus 380. Kick someone, breaks his foot, and he gets choked out. Like, I can't help the fact that the guy broke his foot. You know what I mean? Like. So that's why I just UFC and the judges. Let's not go there today.
So by the way, it looks like he would have lost that 4-team parlay, by the way. So okay. As I said, the 4-teamers too much. Stick with the 2-teamers, Gabe. That's what you're good at. You've been rolling like that. I would stop trying to make it complicated. So we'll really
And then get your chats in, because
get your questions in now, guys, because we're not going to be on here for two.
Friday night. I don't want to fucking do this. I'm sorry, Dan. Hey, in what's up, boys? Toucher and Rich out. Hardy Jones Murray. Thank you, everybody. Angry Joe Murray. Those frauds. Okay. Over under on the football tomorrow. We'll look at that
in a minute.
Degenerate football tomorrow. Josh Allen sucks. We actually asked Burt Breer today what he thought.
What did Burt Breer say?
I don't know if he answered.
Okay, so he gave the...
You know what he gave you? Usually bad quarterbacks with good talent, they try to help them, I think was the answer. When will you guys cover NFL season props MVP? Soon.
Probably next week. I think that's probably going to be next week.
Is Miami worth a series bet versus the Bucks? Yes, but we have to get that first.
We'll get into that.
I need a lockdown. You got 5K to blow on the weekend, bro? Whoa. Yeah,
don't. Just stop. If you go into the weekend and be like, oh, I got 5 grand to blow, let's blow it, you're going to fucking lose.
You are going to blow it.
Horrible.
I went on Monday. I went stir crazy. It was bad. It was a bad day Monday. Dan even hit me up. I don't know. I think I'm done for the week. And here we are.
Here we are.
Been playing Magic second half money lines. Yeah, they've been pretty good. Celtics have no chance against the Raptors. I disagree.
We'll get into that.
What happened? I lost the feed. I'm sorry. We're here.
Yep.
I made a McMurray. Yes. Thoughts on MLB series prices?
In a 60-game season where every game has more value than usual, I feel like the MLB series prices have lost their value significantly this year. Significantly. So pretty much from what I've been told from guys who actually bet the MLB consistently. So
did you see someone on Twitter? $10 on ESPN high school football right now on ESPN. You can pick your team. Some guy wants to go against us in high school football betting.
Jesus Christ. Come on. Can I have a break?
Give me the red team. Is there any colors?
You know, this guy's name's Stanley. Stanley, fuck off. Okay. Come on, man. I don't even know.
I don't even know the colors. Give me red. Anyone that's near red, give it to me.
Okay. Joe will bet you $20. Can I have a break, please?
All right. So the Rockets Thunder game.
Yeah. Let's get into the NBA fully now. So let's start with round one and we'll move in around.
This Rockets Thunder crap. These damn Rockets. Oh, they piss me off, Dan. If you watched Monday's game at all, they hit 8 straight threes in the third quarter. Yep. They're rolling.
And then there was regression, and they missed like 11 straight shots.
No, but it was stupidity, not regression. Like, you just drop. Why don't you guys just like up fake it? Do a you know up fake and little dribble to the hole. You know. Like, just,
I mean, when you've hit 8 straight, you're going to continue like, launching.
Dude, when you miss 15, though, it's 30 points the other way. You know what I'm saying? Like, just don't give the other team. It's like when the Patriots try to go downfield every play, or like some teams just throw the deep ball every play. It's like, dude, every time you throw the deep ball and you miss it, you're giving the other team the ball back. Like, you're an idiot. Yep. It's like I watch who does that in football? Like who's one of those stupid teams that just do that?
The Giants used to do that, man. The Giants absolutely used to do that.
But like that's what the Rockets pissed me off so bad. Like that, dude. They like broke a record. Like no team has ever hit that many threes in a game and lost. You know, like, and that's what, dude. I couldn't believe that bet hurt. That one hurt. But OKC, I don't know. I mean, I don't believe in either team. The Rockets have talent. I know that they. I don't know why I'm
Listen,
trying
to. I don't know where to go with this series now. Okay, so
the Rockets are on the list. Russell, how about that? Rockets are on the list. Russell, I'm not betting.
Okay, so Joe's out on the series. Here's how I would look at it. Russell Westbrook is back. That's a significant advantage defensively for Houston. Offensively, I think it stunts them. I think they are better offensively with him off the floor. To be perfectly honest with you, I think that Eric Gordon has really shown in that spot, and I think that you've seen they've been a better team. Now, the last two games, the third game that they lost, was they shouldn't have lost that game. last game they deserved to lose. They got rolled. They got hot for a few minutes there and hit eight straight threes. Other than that, I thought they were the worst. They were the worst of the two teams. I thought they deserved to lose that game. Now the spread is 5 with Westbrook instead of up from the usual 2 to 3.5. I don't want to touch the spread in this one. What I do want to look at is the under. Okay? Westbrook makes that team worse offensively. The Thunder are going to be have a much harder time with Paul and SGA. They're going to be interchangeable now. Harden and Westbrook can now guard those guys. So Paul is probably now going to be on – Paul is now probably going to be covered by Westbrook instead of Harden. To me, it makes it significantly harder for him to get kind of his mid-range jumper, which he loves so much. I like the under. I really do. So PP, Thunder Rockets under 225.5. There's my NBA PP for tomorrow. I'm going to take the under in that one. And then, you know, we'll take a look at the spread. We'll see what happens. I just don't think that you're going to end up having a team, you know, those two teams go over. I think there's going to be a lot of defensive ball, especially now.
The last game didn't go over and it went out 1,000,000 points.
Yep. So I'm going under again. that's where I'm rolling this. Joe, any thoughts about the 9 o'clock Portland Lakers series before we kind of get into round two here?
I like the Lakers to win.
Yeah.
I think it goes over. It's weird, man. The Lakers, whenever they play half court basketball, they're really good because they have just, you know, those two players just throw the ball to LeBron. But when they start running more, they are a better team. And LeBron's a better passer in those situations. I don't know if they needed Portland to like realize that. So, you know, the third team might scare some people, but I think Portland wants to go home. I think that, you know, Kuzma hasn't really done much. They haven't needed him, but he played in like a lot of junk minutes and performed well. Maybe he's starting to get hot. Danny Green's starting to get hot. Deion Waiters starting to, and these guys all, no, they're all, I mean, basically bench players, but
Caldwell Pope is playing much better than he was game one.
So if those guys can play better, that's going to like bump the score up. So the Lakers they win by double digits. I don't know.
Yeah. And the other problem is, you know, how motivated is Portland without Lillard? How many points do you really realistically expect them to score? Their team total right now is 105. I can't see that. I can't see them scoring 105 points in the game tomorrow unless LeBron really, really fucking mails it in. I just think that Portland's going to take the ball and go home. I would expect an under in the Portland Lakers game, to be perfectly honest with you. The way I would look at it is I would lean under. The totals now move from 224 to 25, back down to 223. I think that the bookmakers are kind of, you know, trying to tell you a little bit. They're willing to take some over money there. They're willing to, you know, want you to take that over. I think you're going to go under. I think you're going to go under. I think you're going to look at the Portland team total under. I think I'll have a play on that tomorrow on the podcast. It's not official yet. I want to run my numbers as well. But, you know, I do think of that. And again, if you have a Lakers 4-1 ticket, my buddy Ben, who I talk to sometimes, I know has a 4-1 Lakers ticket, Lakers to win exactly in 4-1. The Portland Trailblazers money line is plus 925. So what do you need to do? So if you probably have a plus 220, plus 230 to win 4-1. I know that's what I have.
50 bucks gets you 450.
There you go. What's your
ticket number, if you don't mind sharing?
On what? On the Lakers.
The Lakers 4-1. How much?
I think I have 400 on plus 220, and I got Lakers minus two games for a couple hundred as well. Nothing major. Nothing major. But you know, I do have that.
You can hedge out with 25 bucks, 50 bucks.
Yep. So that's exactly what I was going to suggest doing. Hedge a little bit with the Portland money line, throw 70, 60, 70 bucks, whatever you need to do. Calculate however much you have exposed, you know, plus that and whatever, do that. So, that's what I would do personally is if you have 300 plus 220, you're looking at 520 exposure. You probably want to lock in a little bit of profit, right? So if you're looking at, 600 divided by 9.25, give me a 60, 65 bucks. give me 65. Give me 70 on the Blazers at 9+925. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I'm not good at math. 660. You put 100 on 950, or you put 50 to make 450. Oh, Jesus.
It's fine. I just did it for you. So, $70 wins you basically $650.
$70.
So, there you go. So it's a win-win for you, Ben. But if you have 300 plus 220, bang, you lock yourself in a little bit of profit with very little risk. Put in on put in fucking $70. Call it a day.
All right. What's the series price? Celtics Raptors. What is it?
Well, we have one more series. We have a couple more series, Joe, in the first round before we get to the second round. I know. Sunday's games. Clippers Mavericks. Mavericks officially are basically done.
Porzingis today.
Ruled out with a torn meniscus. The spread has now moved from 8 or 7.5 to 9.5. The total now is at 238.5, meaning bookmakers expecting points in this one. The Clippers are going to win this game. Okay. The Clippers series price. And the other day, I recommended it to you guys. If you listened to me on air last week, was -200. It's now going to be, I assume, to end the series is going to be a little bit below -400 because the money line's at -425. So I assume, it'll be a little bit above -425. So my assumption is probably -500. I got in some, some -360s the other week and some -200s. So you should be able to roll with those. I feel very good about the Clippers winning tomorrow. So, Joe, I very rarely do this, but if you're looking for a parlay piece, Clippers money line -425 tomorrow is appealing to me. Now, I do not want you to go out and do 17 parlays with this. I want you to do a two-team parlay with this at max a three-teamer. Again, non-plus EV parlays are the biggest waste of money in the fucking planet. So just a heads up there. I do think that the Clippers money line of -425 is not a bad parlay piece. That series is over. Then we have game six of Nuggets Jazz, Joe.
Over. Dude, I couldn't believe this. I saw this the other day. 13 games the Denver Nuggets have played in the bubble. 12 of them have gone over the total.
Okay.
I'm going to ride that again.
So PP over 221?
Yes.
So the total has jumped up. It was actually in 218 to open the series, 217. Now we're looking at a 221, so steadily been rising, as we've kind of talked about. I would lean over here too. Now Utah is a 2.5-point fave, Joe. They're -350 to win the series. Do you give Denver any chance to come back?
Yes.
You think Denver can come back and win the series?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think they can force another game, and then the way Jamal Murray's playing right now, if Jokic finally got off his ass the other day, I mean, he finally got going.
I think he had like 23 in the first in the half.
But Jamal Murray late, nobody can defend him late, and that's the thing with Denver, right? If Michael Porter Jr. can contribute whatsoever, it takes everything off of Jokic, really. Yeah, they can come back. Will they?
Yeah,
would I bet on it? I don't know. But
I've gotten this question a lot. Is Denver +300 worth a bet as a series price?
I think it might be because, it's short money. I mean, dude, $100 gets you three. 50 gets you 150. Like, the way I look at it is there some value there? Yeah. What makes Utah this great team? I know they're a good three-point shooting team, and obviously Donovan Mitchell's really stood out. I mean, he has. But, what do they do that's so great? And I just don't see why. I mean, Denver had a better record than them anyways, right?
Denver was the favorite going into the series, a pretty heavy favorite. I have a play on the Jazz series for us. I think it was +210 I got it as. I actually advised it early on in the series through one of our read moments for DraftKings that you take a series play on the Utah Jazz +210 or +200, whatever line you can find. That looks pretty good right now. Here's what I would say about the series price. If you think that the Nuggets are going to win game six, to play the series price. You're going to end up having a plus 300 ticket. You'll be able to come back with, you know, a Jazz minus what? Minus 140 ticket. You'll have a nice free hedge parlay there. You can lean whatever side you want. If you want to put some more money on the Jazz to win, obviously you can do that. Okay. I think that's better than playing the Denver plus 120 tomorrow. So if you're looking for actual plays, I would lean the Denver Nuggets series price. However, I do not think it's a good play. I think the Jazz close out the series in six. I think the NBA wants to move on to the second round of the playoffs. So to me, I'm passing on the Denver Nuggets tomorrow. I lean the Jazz. I lean the over. But again, if you believe Denver can come back, the way to play the series would be play the Denver series price at plus 300. That'd be the way I would go.
All right. Is that it for the first round?
That's it for the first round. We're on to the second round, Joe. On to the second round.
Celtics Raptors. These games won't be played in Toronto, which I think makes it an advantage for the Celtics. My only issue is this. There's a discussion and a question.
Okay.
The question is, are the Celtics better without Gordon Hayward? And here's where I'm going with it, Dan. Do you know what their record is this year without Gordon Hayward? It's like 18-6. Without nice. Gordon, including playoffs.
Yeah, now, I don't care.
does it make their bench worse? Absolutely. The Raptors have a really good bench. Their bench scored 100 points in the last game against Brooklyn. I just think the Raptors can throw more players on the court, but I like in playoff situations that the Celtics can leave guys out there for 35, 40 minutes a night. It's going to come down to the benches, man, and I just think the Raptors have the better bench. But the Celtics can beat the Raptors. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
The Raptors have had a good season. They have a good coach. Like, yeah, they don't have Kawhi, but they're still good. They have that playoff experience. This is like the hump that the Celtics have to get over. You know? Like, to me, this is – the Raptors have been there. They know how to get there. This is the hump for the Celtics. And, you know, just like with the Bruins, the Ras thing really hurts them. It does. The Hayward thing may hurt them with depth off the bench. It might. I just think that this is the hurdle that the Celtics need to get over. I certainly think they can win this series. Listen, this thing's is almost as close as possible talent-wise. Raptors have a better bench. And you know what, dude? I might even say this. They might even have a better coach. But does it matter in the long run, the coach? No.
So here's how I break it down. First off, the series opened, I believe, minus 120 and pretty much even. Plus 105 some points depending on the line, right? The line got sharped way up. This is the series price, of course, we're talking about. The line got sharped way up to the Raptors minus 160, the Celtics plus 140. That got shot all the way back down to the Celtics plus 105, the Raptors minus 115, the minus 120. Now we're seeing the Raptors at minus 140, Celtics at plus 120. We're seeing a lot of movement on this series price around the same area. Here's what I'll say. Without Gordon Hayward, the Celtics, I don't give a fuck what their record was during the regular season. I don't care what you think. If you think the Celtics are better without Gordon Hayward, that is fine. But you cannot argue to me that the Celtics are deeper without Gordon Hayward, and that is something that you need in the playoffs. Now, if you want to argue that Gordon Hayward should be a bench player and you want to start Marcus Smart, feel free. I totally understand that. I disagree. I don't agree with that sentiment whatsoever. But I can at least rationalize where you're coming from and say, okay, that's a fair argument. I don't agree. Without Gordon Hayward, the Celtics bench goes from, you know, what, again, we've talked about the Celtics bench quite a bit. A good bench with Marcus Smart, okay? I would say a good bench with Marcus Smart to one of the slimmest benches depth-wise in the league, okay? I don't think I'm being extraordinarily wild saying that.
Especially in the playoffs.
So you no longer have, let's call him your sixth best player. If all the Celtics fans went up there, let's call him your sixth or seventh best player. That's a fucking massive loss in the playoffs. Massive. It's a major loss. And I don't know. The Celtics are not going to struggle scoring points. Kemba, Tatum, Brown, especially, who has really played well in the, you know, in the series, in him and Tatum, really, especially, they're not going to struggle with scoring points. What they're going to struggle with is being able to keep those guys healthy, rested, without Hayward on there. Hayward allows them to rotate those players in and out constantly. Without Hayward and having, you know, just the threat of the Gordon Hayward jumper, the three-pointer, whatever he does, he may not do anything elite, but he's very good at what, you know, in terms of everything that he does, his offensive game, his defensive game, he's starting to put it together offensively, especially. Without Gordon Hayward, you are taking a gargantuan step backwards, in my personal opinion, off the bench. Really. Right. Now, we're going to see what Kyle Lowry is healthy-wise.
Yeah,
but if you're asking me, can the Celtics win the series? Yes. Do I think they're going to without Gordon Hayward? No.
I wanted to throw this at you. I feel like the Raptors have a really good, like, starting five. And again, I've mentioned their bench, but when you think about the Celtics matching up with them, obviously Gasol's the center, and you'll put Tice on him. Siakam is a really good player. I mean, just a damn good player. He can shoot from the outside, play in the post. Like he's what you want in the league. He's like that stretch four. That's everything. Ananobi is really come on for them. So how do you match up? Like, do you put Kemba on Van Vliet? Do you put Kemba on Lowry because he's fat and slow? Do you put Jaylen Brown on Van Vliet? Do you put Marcus Smart on Ananobi? Like, I'm just curious how you match it up. And it's probably Tatum and Siakam, right?
I would expect that to be the matchup. Unless, see, the thing is, I do think that Robert Williams matches up pretty well defensively against Siakam. The problem is I'm not a huge fan of having Williams actually guard the perimeter. So I think defensively they're in a little bit of trouble guarding Siakam. My guess is you're going to go Tatum on Siakam, and then you're going to have Smart go on the hot hand, okay? And you're going to put Brown on whoever, and you're going to put, you know, Smart on the hot hand. By the way, if you missed the Rockets OKC thoughts, we have already discussed them. The podcast will be out later for you guys to listen to them. We've already discussed that series and what we believe is going to happen there. So, but I do think the Celtics are going to have a very interesting matchup. I'd put Jaylen Brown on the hot hand and Marcus Smart on the hot hand. All good, Mike. I'd put those guys on whoever is hot. If Kyle Lowry is praying out of his mind, you don't want to hide Kemba Walker on him. And that's what you're going to have to do this series, is you're going to have to find someone to hide Kemba Walker on. Who is that going to be? Is it going to be Lowry? Is it going to be Van Vliet? Is it going to be Ananobi, who, again, very good defensively, hasn't been the offense, has not developed the game offensively you thought, Joe. So my guess is you probably don't want to put him on Ananobi because the size differential there is really big. It's going to be Lowry or Van Vliet. That's what it's probably going to end up being.
So in this certain matchup, I wouldn't mind not starting Smart. Like, I feel like Shimi Ogilvy and Ananobi could – I'm Ananobi's better, I know. But I feel like this is a spot where you might be able to start a guy like him. Or this is a series where you could play him to play – because that's what Ananobi's doing with them. I mean, you know, he gets his points, don't get me wrong. But he's there to be a grinder and play defense and run after, you know, rebounds and stuff. So, like, it might be worth – I'm just spitballing, but it might be worth in this series maybe starting him.
I think that if you start Ogilvy, you are taking an offensive loss off there and a defensive loss from your starting five. And I don't know. I think you can get away with it at points during the game, Joe. Like, I think that you would say, okay, well, I need Marcus to get rest, or I need, you know, to rotate him over here. So I'm okay putting, you know, Ogilvy on Ananobi, but I don't think for a large portion of the series that you can start, you know, Ogilvy and say, go out there and, you know, give me 5-10 points and play defense. Because I think Ananobi is going to get you 12-14 being a grinder still. You know, offensively, has he played super well? No, but he still can shoot the three. He's an elite defender. He's probably going to end up guarding Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum at times. You probably don't want Siakam playing too much perimeter defense on Tatum, who just literally is hot from three. I don't know, man. I think if you're looking to take Marcus Smart out of the lineup, I think I would consider putting Robert Williams in instead of Ojale, because at least then you're giving up more size. Tatum can always rotate over to Siakam. You can always put, you know, Robert Williams on Siakam. At least you have Siakam covered inside and out. You put Ojale in, I do worry about what he's going to give you offensively. At least Robert Williams poses some sort of offensive threat. I just don't want Ojale seeing too many minutes. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't want him to be a key part off the bench. And he might have to be. He might. I'm not sure. Listen, and this is the problem. This is the problem that losing Gordon Hayward possesses, because you could put Hayward on Anobi and no problem. You know exactly what you're doing. You know that Smart's coming off the bench to guard whoever's hot if you need to hide Kemba. This is exactly the problem losing Hayward,
One of them, Steven here, means hide Kemba on OG, and you could do that with Smart.
The size differential is so big, though.
Yeah, you know? No, I know, but I just don't think Anunoby could control a game at Indiana, you know?
Yeah.
He's not controlling games with the Raptors, and that's why I like Gabriel with Portland, you know? It's just these guys that can fill. Utah is a guy that comes in with an afro that just starts for them, but like does nothing.
O'Neal, Royce. Yeah, O'Neal.
You know what I mean? Like, he's just, they just have a guy.
He's not very good.
They just have guys. Like, you know, I'm trying to really like conserve the bench for the Celtics, and I don't know. We'll see what happens here. I like the Celtics to win the series, Dan, and it's not a homer play. I think Toronto is the better team. They've been the better team all year. I think that we're truly seeing the development of Jason Tatum, not so much Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown before our eyes.
I think both of them. I think you could argue both of them.
And you know what? I don't give Tatum enough credit. I'm not a Tatum hater. I have high expectations for Jason Tatum.
Yep.
That's why I'm on Charlie McAvoy when it comes to the Bruins. Like, McAvoy was great last round. He sucks this round. Like, I'm going to get on him. I have expectations for Tatum. I think Tatum can score 25 points a game in his sleep, you know, and I think that if he can he had 15 rebounds the last couple of games. Like, he's like 6'10" realistically, his arm length and everything like that. I mean, I'm not saying he's Durant or anything like that, but like, Jason Tatum should give you 20 and 10 every night. Jaylen Brown, on the other hand, is playing spectacular defense. And is scoring at a great clip. Now, the game that he only scored 7 points in, they blew out the 76ers. You know what I'm saying? There are games they don't need him. All I'm saying is we're seeing a rising star in Jaylen Brown, where Tatum's continuing to elevate. And I'll tell you, Kemba's just give me a team in the league. I like this discussion here. But give me a team in the league that has three offensive options. And it's easy to say, oh, Kuzma. Kuzma hasn't been good. Like, the Rockets, Paul George hasn't been good, right? I mean, I'm just looking around the league. Like, Utah doesn't have three options.
Houston does.
Houston has, you know, Westbrook when he's right.
Gordon, Westbrook, Harden. Absolutely. Those guys are bad. I think those guys offensively are better than Brown, Tatum, Kemba, in my opinion. Because
Harden's the best player. I might take Kemba over Westbrook, even though people will argue with me about that one. I just think Westbrook, Kemba's a better three-point shooter. Playing on that, I mean, if you put Kemba on the Rockets, dude, he'd hit a bunch of threes a game.
You'd also allow 700 points. Here's the thing. I think they're comparable. I think are the Celtics three better? Yes. Those guys are better. But I think it depends on what you're looking for. Overall, yes, they're better. Offensively, give me the Rockets. I mean, Harden, Gordon, and Westbrook. Westbrook can score literally, can drive from anywhere in the hoop. He's the fastest, one of the fastest players in the league. Harden could shoot the ball from anywhere, and so can Gordon. Gordon's very underrated. So, I agree with what you're saying. The Lakers do not have.
There's not many teams that have a three-option offense.
Maybe Denver. Denver's trying.
They're trying. That's why I still give them a chance.
When Porter plays, he can score. You're definitely right about that.
The Bucks don't have it. They get pissed if Middleton doesn't play well.
Hell no.
They just don't have that third guy. The Celtics have that third guy, and we're just watching guys develop in front of us. And it's just, I don't know. I just feel like offensively, if these guys can play 35 minutes without foul trouble, I don't know.
All right, so let's quickly discuss this. Celtics series price right now, minus 140, plus 120. Toronto's the favorite, okay? Here's where I basically said, you know, there's value, and I'll just repeat it for everyone. When Toronto gets the minus 160 and Boston's at plus 140, you got to take them, okay? Boston at plus 140 is legitimate value. I think that, you know, plus 145, plus 150, I would definitely play. Plus 140 for you guys, probably legitimate value, okay? Minus 115, minus 120 for Toronto is value too. I'm sorry. That is the actuality. They should be favored in the series without Gordon Hayward. And yes, I do think Hayward makes that big of a difference in the series. Depth-wise, matchup-wise, he does. So, yeah. I think right now, the minus 140 plus 120 is probably going to be a settling price. There's not much there. Game one, Joe. Sunday, 1 o'clock, Toronto's 2.5 point favorites. If you want an angle on this one, here's the way I'd look. We don't know Kyle Lowry's health. If you believe Lowry's going to be healthy, you probably play Toronto. If you believe that Lowry's not going to be healthy or might not play or anything, you got to lean Boston. That's the way I would look at it. So, you know, 216 is the total. I want nothing to do with the total in game one. Nothing to do with the total whatsoever. Let me see what happens in the series. Let me see the first two games early on. All the Celtics fans are going to be on the Celtics. We know that. All the Raptors fans are going to be on the Raptors. You remove your biases. Try and take a step back from your actual fucking biases and look at the teams.
I think Toronto's got a better bench, and it's probably the difference.
They do. They absolutely have a better bench. The Celtics probably have a better starting lineup. If Gordon Hayward's in the series, I think the Celtics win without Gordon Hayward. I think Toronto wins in 6 or 7. Yep. That's the way I look at it. And all the Celtics fans are going to say, I can't believe you think Gordon Hayward's valuable. Yep. And you're going to find out. He is a matchup nightmare.
Gordon Hayward's very – That's why we're so pissed about the injury and the bad luck and everything. The guy's 6'10". He can play the 3, the 4. He can defend anybody. He can dribble the basketball. He can play the point. He can shoot the 3. He's a good foul shooter. Like, he can do so many things. And the thing that he does is he can distribute very well. Like, that's kind of his game. Listen, do you want Brad Wanamaker out there or Gordon Hayward running the point? And I'm not shitting on Wanamaker because I think Wanamaker can play in this series because Van Vliet's like, what, 6 feet tall?
I think it's okay to shit on Wanamaker.
No. But what I mean, though, is I think he'll be able to play in the series because of the defensive height advantage. Van Vliet's on fire right now. He's a free agent. When does all right, here's what I'm doing with this series. Normally, I fade the Celtics in this situation, always. No Hayward, the bench isn't good. Like, Toronto's a real team. I think Siakam is legit. Like, is he better than Tatum? Probably not, but like, he is star level, getting to star level. He's a poor man star, but
I will take Hayward.
But I'm just saying he's a poor man star. Like, Siakam is the best player on that team, in my opinion. I just think that this is the hurdle. The Celtics have been trying to pass for years. They're here now. They are here. They're trending upwards, where I think it's time for Toronto to trend downwards. My thinking, Dan, and I know I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, I think the Heat and the Heat are going to go. The Heat are going to play the Bucks.
Okay, so let's
that's where I'm going with it.
So let's discuss this. Let's discuss the series. Obviously, we believe that Milwaukee is going to win against Orlando. They're up 3-1. If they lose game 5 miraculously somehow, some way, we all think that they're going to win the series, right? You agree Milwaukee's going to win that series, Joe?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So moving to the Heat Milwaukee series, I want to talk about that, and then obviously we'll touch on whatever else we can. Miami is, in my opinion, better than Boston and better than Toronto. People will disagree with that. I think that's fair. I think there's an argument to be made for Boston. There's an argument to be made for Toronto. The Heat are 10 deep easily. Easily 10 deep. They can shoot pretty much all of their players, with the exception of Adebayo.
They have two big men that can shoot, too.
They can shoot from anywhere. They can play they play elite defense. Jimmy Butler has playoff experience, anchors that team. They take on his attitude. They have a coach that everyone used to make fun of, including me and Spoelstra, who is a very good coach. They are very good. If there is a team that is going to beat Milwaukee, you need to beat Milwaukee with your bench. The team that can do it, in my opinion, is Miami. That is it. There is no team that can beat Milwaukee with their bench. The Celtics have a very good starting five. It doesn't matter because Milwaukee is a very, very good matchup for them. Milwaukee has size. The Celtics don't. Toronto has size, but they don't have anyone who can really cover Giannis regardless. To me, I look at it and say, the one team that can stop Milwaukee is Miami. Miami, we just saw them sweep Indiana. They're being underrated in circles. They're 10 deep. They're really, really, really fucking good. Okay? That is a really, really good team. I think they can win these. Now, do I think they're going to beat Milwaukee? No, I don't. I think Milwaukee is going to win in 6 or 7. I think that series is going to be very tight. The Heat are going to give everything they have in that series. I don't know what the series price is going to be. So I can't tell you if there's value. Here's what I can tell you. If the series price opens where I'm projecting it, which is, you know, Milwaukee minus 600 in the series, I think that you can get some serious spreads, which are free money. Milwaukee is not going to go down in a sweep. Milwaukee is not going to win one game. Or sorry, Miami's not going to go down a sweep. Miami's not going to go down a sweep. Miami is not going to win one game. They're going to win two games in that series. They're going to play Milwaukee tough. They're going to throw bodies at Giannis, whether it's Adebayo, the clinic, Jimmy Butler. They can rotate and throw bodies at you. They can. They can do it. Derek Jones Jr. is another one, okay? They have the size. They have the three-point shooting to keep up with them offensively. They have the defense to stop them defensively. They can. So I don't know. I don't know the spread yet. We haven't seen that because Milwaukee needs to, you know, actually win the series first before we're going to see any spreads. But what I'll tell you is this. When Miami and Milwaukee, when that series press comes out, fucking hit it. Hit it early. Hit it often. Because I'm telling you, the professionals are going to be on Miami. They're going to be. Unless it's so wildly priced, like in the 300, 400 range, which I don't expect to see. I expect it to be 500, 600, 700. You're going to get some real value with Miami spread-wise, value-wise, on the series price. Do it. Just do it. Don't ask. You don't need to fucking ask me. I'm telling you right now, just do it. So I'm telling you, I will have big PPs on the Miami spreads, assuming we are going to, you know, the Milwaukee series price opens where I expect it to, which is, you know, the 600, 700, 800 range.
This kid Nunn was held back that whole entire since COVID. I think he had COVID. I don't even know. But they let him loose a little bit in the last game because they had such a big lead. I think he could go off a little bit in that series, especially with Bledsoe. And
he was starting for them. He was starting for them in the bubble games. He's disgusting.
Yeah. So I think he's been held back and, you know, could really help them. I just think they can go 3 for 3 with the Bucks. You know, Giannis, it's going to be higher. I'd probably put out a bio on Giannis.
I think you're going to have to rotate on him. I do. I think you're going to have to throw bodies at that guy.
Yeah. I really like the Heat, dude. And Jimmy Butler is a star. Gets calls, plays good defense, talks a lot of shit. The Celtics always wanted him. They could never end up getting him.
I also forgot the Heat also have Jay Crowder, don't they? And not to mention Andre Iguodala, who always fucking forget. But Iguodala is the game changer in that fucking series. You can put Iguodala on Giannis at times. Honestly, you can.
Oh yeah,
he's a top five defender in the NFL. So the NBA. Jesus, I'm making mistakes right now. So here's what I'll tell you: the Heat aren't going away. The Heat are not going slowly into the night. They're not going to fade away. They want to be in the bubble. They want to be there. The players want to be there. They're fucking in, dude. That team is good. You want a long shot to win the East? Take Miami. Okay? You seriously take Miami because
I agree.
Yep.
I have Boston, Miami.
Yep, and you know I've been on Miami for how long? long time.
A couple weeks now, at least I know of.
A couple months. I had them at the beginning of the season, yeah.
So that's what I have for my Eastern Conference Final. I have Boston, and I think the Heat are just too good. But so what else, Dan? I know we're on tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. We'll probably recap this much faster. I'm kind of out on baseball at the moment. I just don't care.
We can do some baseball tomorrow. I don't think there's anything we really want to talk baseball wise right now, right?
Someone mentioned this, the Big Ten backtracking. I like it. Like, if they want to play from November on, fine. But give me, like, you know, Michigan, the big games. I want
Michigan,
you
know, Ohio State.
I want, you know, I want Wisconsin, you know, I want Wisconsin, Penn State. I want those big games in there. So at least we're going to get some college football and some college football tomorrow, Dan.
Yes. So, yeah. But so, by the way, I just want to say, if the players want to play and the coaches think it's safe, I'm fucking in. Okay. That's how I feel. Okay. These guys should be tested daily. If they are, I'm in.
I have a question.
Sure.
What if they say, okay, the Big Ten can't play, but you can join a conference? So, for example,
I'm in.
Let's use Wisconsin.
Okay.
Would you like them in the ACC?
You don't care. I want them to play.
Let me just ask you this. If one team in the Big Ten could go to the ACC and be better than Clemson, who is it?
It's probably Ohio State, right? With Justin Fields. Yep.
What if one had to go to the SEC?
So that's a different challenge because you need big boys.
And I think Wisconsin's that team.
I would say Wisconsin. Yeah. I
think Penn State would get rocked in the SEC.
No, I don't think so. I think Ohio State would have more success. Ohio State, again, is more athletic, smaller. I think Ohio State could. Ohio State, see, no doubt. I'm an Ohio State fan. I have been all my life. If you're putting them in against consistently every week against the LSUs and everything, you don't have months to game plan. I don't think so, man. Those are it's a different type of football.
The Vanderbilts, the Arkansas, the Texas A&Ms, the Florida. I mean, we're just talking about the top of the SEC. You know what I mean? There's a
Georgia.
Georgia, yeah, there's a lot of
Georgia. I mean, dude, it's an incredible Missouri. It's an incredibly deep conference. It really is. And so to say that, you know, Ohio State could play there. Yes, they could. Would they do well? I think they'd be okay, but I don't think they'd be as good as people think they are. Honestly, I really don't. I don't think they'd be as good as people think they are. So that's my opinion there. Anything else?
I got nothing for like the games yet. I haven't really looked at them for tomorrow.
Okay, so
I don't care about Austin Peay.
Okay, do you want me to give you my breakdown on Austin Peay to give you a little something, or do you want me to save it for tomorrow?
Give it out. The people are here.
So Austin Peay, Central Arkansas. Okay, Central Arkansas is returning their quarterback. He's pretty damn good. He was very good last year. So Arkansas opened at 3.5 on the spread. It's now 5.5. Obviously, you see what the sharp side is. Central Arkansas is getting the money, getting the side. The total opened at 43. That's at 45.5 now. So that's been sharped up as well. It hit 46.5 earlier in the day. I got it at 39 on a teaser. I think that if you're looking for a potential play in this game, I think you might want to tease the total. I don't think it's a terrible idea because I don't think at 5.5 anything's playable. Now, Austin Peay. New head coach, 2 months ago, they barely put in the offensive defensive schemes. They're not returning the starting quarterback, but the quarterback does have experience from last year. He's a junior, so he played some last year. And I can give Colby Dant credit on this because this is, you know, as far as really I know without, you know, a ton of my research on my side. I lean over on this one. I think that Central Arkansas is going to score some points early on. And I think Austin Peay will get better as the game goes along. I would lean Austin Peay with the PA, whatever the fuck it is, with the 5.5. I think that's a lot, especially in an opening game. But I don't want to touch the spread. I would go with the total, go over. Obviously, it's the FCS kickoff. We don't have any fans. We don't know what's gonna, you know, what's gonna be like without fans. The way I'm approaching it this year is, you know, I'm deducting specific percentage points for no home crowds, depending on where the place is, you know, depending on, you know, who's playing there and whatever. So that's kind of the way I would look at it. Anyways, that's my Austin P. Joe and I think, and we have to discuss this, we have to schedule this, whatever, are going to be doing an NFL preview, and, you know, within the next week or two, and we'll do a college football preview at some point.
Yeah.
College football starts next Saturday.
We'll probably have to do it during the week this week, maybe Thursday or something.
So next Thursday is the opener. If we don't get the opener in the college football preview, oh, well, shits and gigs. It happens. Weird time right now. But we will get that.
Ready for this one, Dan?
Yes.
Going with a barn burner tomorrow. Austin P. This, I know nothing. Austin, I'm just based off my historical brains. I put my hand on it, right? Put my hand on the game and I just closed my eyes. And I saw Austin P. win 21-20 on a last second field goal.
There you go. All right. So Joey Murray's going
Austin. So that's Austin P. plus 5.5. There we go.
There you go.
I just put my hand on it and closed my eyes.
Yeah. So, okay. So I gave out one PP. We'll do the show tomorrow. We'll give out
the Bucks over. We'll give that one out as a PP.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the Bucks over tomorrow, 226 as well. We will have, obviously, I gave you guys my thoughts on the Heat. So you guys should not need to ask my opinion whether or not, you know, what is an attainable price to take the series price there. I told you the spreads I would look at as well. Two and a half, if you know it's a reasonable number, obviously two there. We will get into the other matchups. The Lakers Rockets will obviously be next week. It looks like it's going to be Jazz Clippers. I think we can safely say the Clippers will win one of the next two. And I'm going to assume it's the Jazz, but either way, it's going to be Clippers and Jazz or Clippers and Nuggets. And we'll kind of break those series down next week. We obviously can't get into them too much right now. Lakers Thunder or Lakers Rockets will be the other series. I assume it's going to be the Lakers Rockets, but, you know, the Thunder winning would not shock me at all. Would not be a massive surprise either. So let's see what happens there. So we'll kind of get into that. We'll do college football next week, Joe. We'll do a preview. I think we'll do an NFL preview the week afterwards, so we'll kind of get everything to you. You guys want win totals, divisions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So give us, you know, a little bit of time to kind of get everything to you guys, you know, there. We, Joe and I, tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, 7 a.m., we'll be doing the DraftKings Over Under show on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can listen to that on the stream as well. And if you would like, go rate us on iTunes. We have not had any ratings in a while. Go give us a ratings. If you hate us, that's okay. You can rate us one star and tell us how much we suck. If you love us, you can give us 5 stars and tell us how great we are. I don't give a shit. But if you wouldn't mind going to rate us, that would be awesome as well, because we haven't asked for that in a while. And Joe and I, two PPs today. We'll give out some more tomorrow morning. And we'll continue with the other stuff. And maybe I'll get some more information on the college football game for you guys. UFC game tomorrow, Joe, I think.
I believe so. We'll have UFC on there as well. Maybe we'll get an update on some of the baseball picks. One hit this week, will there be a no-hitter?
Yep. There you go.
That one, we gave that out on our podcast this year so far. So that's it for me. More tomorrow, guys. Call in, too, if you want, in the morning. And feel free to tweet us and this will be up in minutes, and it's saved here on YouTube. So go to YouTube, or you can go to 98.5thesportshub.com, or you can just go to our Twitter page. How about that? So happy Friday. Be safe, everybody. And this has been another edition of Over Under 98.5.
What you got, guys?
All right. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.
Have a good weekend.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.